we need to talk some Patriots. And to do that, well, we turn to the source authority for such matters from Patriots Football Weekly. Thrilled to be joined by our friend Andy Hart. Andy, good afternoon.
How are you this afternoon? Thanks for the build-up leading into this.
Well, man, we're excited here. A little over a week to go. When do you head out for Atlanta?
I will be getting on a plane about 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Very nice. Yeah, it'd be nice to get out of Dodge and get down there. And how extra ironic is this for the Patriots? One more snub of the nose to the good folks of Atlanta after last year. Now we're going to play the Super Bowl in your stadium.
Yeah, you know, the Falcons fans were obviously rooting against the Saints, so they got what they wanted there. But then on the other side of the coin, they have to deal with seeing the Patriots come play a Super Bowl in their stadium. And then I'm not sure if you saw, but JetBlue was doing a little trolling online talking about how they were adding flights, more than three, but not quite 28. Atlanta from Boston. And yeah, for everybody else in the world, sometimes sports are difficult. But for the Patriots and the Patriots fans, more often than not, it seems to be a fun ride.
Well, and here we are back for a third straight year, and there were times this season when it looked like that was a questionable thing. But, man, the way this team has played in the postseason, it's just been an incredible stretch here. And Brady, Tom, I'm sorry I ever doubted you even for a moment. I think he's been lying about his age all along. He must have started in the NFL at 7.
Yeah, he's like one of those foreign baseball players where they're never quite sure how old or young he is. And, you know, it is remarkable, and it's remarkable in that you're right, there was doubt, and I doubted them. I had legitimate doubt even up to last week, because the turnaround up to last week had been at home, and you still had wondering, you know, are they still a team that can't win on the road? And they've answered every question, and now it almost feels like they just basically pushed everything off a month. You know, past years, it was always the talk of after Thanksgiving, that's when the NFL season really starts, and that's when they would peak. And this year, they just pushed it off to late December and early January. But, you know, the things they're doing right now, I don't think it's a stretch. Now, they have to finish the job. I don't think it's a stretch to say this is, you know, the best postseason play we've seen from them in a two-game stretch leading into the Super Bowl of the Belichick era. And now they just got to finish the job and put the ring on the finger.
Well, especially on the offensive side, where there were questions throughout the year as to who the weapons would be on this team. Now there seems to be a surplus of weapons. The newfound running game, the success they've had there, guys coming out of the woodwork to catch the ball, and now it's like Brady looks around and says, well, I have some choices here. Where do I go?
Yeah, they've gotten back to their roots. And, you know, I've been talking about this for a while now that, you know, when there were struggles during the season, all the talk was, oh, this team is like 2009. They just can't get it. Belichick can't get them in order. Belichick can't get them in order. I thought they started to look like 0-1 in that, you know, it's not, you know, an exciting, flashy passing game, and it's a little more dink and dunk, and they probably do need to run the ball, and they probably do need some help on special teams, and they need the defense. It's complementary football, but they've put all of that together for this run here. And, you know, the area I would point to, and certainly Rob Gronkowski made plays last week. Julian Edelman made plays. And when you go 3rd and 10 and those guys just keep picking up first downs, Chris Hogan with a one-handed catch, Dorsett with a touchdown. But the place I would point to is the offensive line has been ridiculously good. And, you know, Dante Scarnecchia's group, you know, you could argue this is the best offensive line we've seen in a postseason, because, you know, there's been some failures in the past where the offensive line was under the spotlight, the warm spotlight of failure. This group, they have been the springboard for everything they've done. You know, they come out with these long drives to open games, 14, 15 plays, and it's 7-0 on a 1-yard Sony Michel touchdown run. And it's almost like this early declaration, we're going to play this game on our terms. And this group has just been, I can't say enough. And if they, you know, they have another challenge in front of them with the Rams and the Rams defensive front and Aaron Donald. But, you know, we'll never see it, and we never have seen it. But, you know, I think you could argue that this offensive line is the MVP of the Patriots this postseason. And, you know, that's a little old school football when you're talking about the offensive line, you know, being the key to help everything set up.
Oh, yeah, just getting out there and playing who's tougher. And the O-line has been great. They've protected Brady. They've opened holes. And then, you know, you even throw in Gronk. Yes, the catches have been great, but some huge blocks. And James Devlin, man, oh, man, every time you need a tough yard, it seems like he's the guy opening the hole.
Yeah, no question. you know, Gronk has been dominant as a blocker. And, you know, for a while there, it was like the fear of, is that all he is now? Is he just a blocking tight end? It was nice to see him make some plays in the passing game last week to help them win that game. And you're right, I'm as big a James Devlin fan as there is on the planet. I think he's the best fullback in football. You go back and look at some of those runs last week. He killed a linebacker on one touchdown run. He killed Eric Berry on another where he just pancake blocked, you know, a former All-Pro safety right into the ground. And, you know, that's just how they're cruising right now. And you know, I give a guy like Trent Brown so much credit. First-year Patriot comes in. You're going to win the left tackle job, beat Tom Brady's blindside left tackle. He's never played left tackle before. You're really a right tackle. And he just comes in and has fit right in with Dante Scarnecchia's group. And across the board, you know, there's no first-round picks there. There's no, you know, Shaq Mason got a nice contract. But, you know, these aren't star offensive linemen. They're just mid-round picks and trade additions that, you know, you have David Andrews, the captain of the group, is an undrafted player. So, you know, it's a lunch pail group that, you know, Dante Scarnecchia is the most demanding coach in football, but gets the best out of them. And it is really key this two-game run to a Super Bowl.
We're talking with Andy Hart of Patriots Football Weekly. So, Super Bowl Sunday, is it the same plan? Is the run game going to be crucial for them?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that's how you're going to try to win. And it's funny, both these teams, the Rams and the Patriots, are running the ball well, and they're stopping the run really well to start the postseason. And both run defenses were a little sketchy during the regular season. The Rams, I think they gave up like 5 yards of carry on the ground. The Patriots had their ups and downs in terms of run defense. But both teams are averaging like 2-point-something yards per carry allowed in the postseason. So they're running the ball for, you know, 300-plus yards as a team and giving up less than 100 over a two-game span. Again, it's sort of old-school football. And, yeah, I think the Patriots need to come out, run the football, run it at Dante Fowler, a guy who is a pass rusher and a guy that's come on for them on defense. And, you know, maybe try to run it right at Aaron Donald and see how he responds. Now, it doesn't usually go well for you. He's a, you know, good big tackle for a lost guy beyond all the sacks. But I just think that's the core of who they are. I'm not sure they're built anymore to just say, we're going to flat out just come out and throw the ball all over the field 45, 50 times with Tom Brady. I don't know if they have the weapons to do that. I don't know that Brady is really best suited to do that now. So, yeah, I think in an ideal world, it's the same formula. Come out, run the ball, short passing game, score early, play from ahead, take some pressure off the defense, and try to really control the game from minute one.
Now, defensively, can they have the same kind of success against Jared Goff that they had in the first half when really Mahomes was flustered, was out of the pocket, and often running for his life?
I think they can. And I think at times this postseason, Goff has looked like a young quarterback. And that's just the reality. When you're a young quarterback in playoff games, and certainly there's a major jump this week from NFC title game to the Super Bowl for Jared Goff in terms of, you know, the crowd and the atmosphere and the length of the game, just everything that goes into what is a Super Bowl, you know, he's got to prove that he's not going to wilt a little bit under the early pressure. And, you know, the Patriots pass rush has been really good the last 2 weeks. And it's been both hitting Phillip Rivers and Patrick Mahomes, but also, you know, kind of mentally putting some stress on them, changing coverages, twists and games up front. Where's the rush coming from? I thought both quarterbacks looked a little flustered at times. Now, obviously, Mahomes shook it off and put up a bunch of points in the second half and in the fourth quarter. But I think Goff has looked a little flustered early in the postseason. And, you know, if he's that early and Brady can be what he's been and the offense be what they've been early, that's how you put together a complementary game and build a lead and make him play catch up. And as good as they are, they're a very good passing attack, scored a lot of, you know, 500-plus points. Sean McVay is a great offensive mind. If your quarterback is off a little bit early, as we saw with Mahomes, if he's missing throws and not quite on his game, it's hard to overcome that. And that's the position the Patriots are going to try to put him into.
They've relied a lot in the postseason on C.J. Anderson. Do you expect the Patriots might get a little bigger dose of Todd Gurley?
I have to think so. Assuming he's healthy and he's not on the injury report, and you know he's now weeks removed from the knee inflammation and soreness he had and missing time to end the regular season, I mean, you're talking about one of the 2, 3, 4 best running backs in football, not only as a runner, a dynamic runner where he had whatever it was, 17 rushing touchdowns, but he caught 50 passes and he had a few touchdowns as a pass catcher. So that offense really is designed and built to go through Todd Gurley. And then it goes to Goff and Brandon Cooks and the passing game. So if you can't get Gurley going, you're really playing an uphill battle there. And C.J. Anderson's been a nice story, you know, basically coming off his couch and probably a little bit overweight for anybody who's seen him play. And, you know, it's been a great story, rushing for 100 yards, you know, helping them advance to the Super Bowl. But if they want to win the Super Bowl, they're going to need Todd Gurley. So, yeah, if I'm the Patriots, I'm expecting Todd Gurley to not only be on the field, but heavily involved early as both a runner and a pass catcher, because I think that's really sort of the ignition for the entirety of that offense.
Now, after seeing Bill Belichick's comments, I'm worried, Andy. Is there any way they can contain Johnny Hecker?
The weapon that is. Bill loves to throw that out there. But, you know, it's funny, in the types of games the Patriots have played in Super Bowls and, you know, some of these past playoff games, close games, you know, a fake punt, those hidden yards that Hecker can be a factor in, and Bill does love him. You remember a couple of years ago in the regular season, all the weapon, and, you know, all the things they do, and it's almost Patriots-like in what they do, where they'll bring him out, he'll be back deep like he's punting, then he'll run up like he's going to, you know, run a fake because he does have a background as a quarterback, and he'll be halfway, and then he's waiting for you as a punt return team or defense to declare what you're doing, and he can figure it out. It's almost like a regular quarterback reading the defense. So, you know, we sort of joke about Bill calling the guy a weapon, but he is a pretty unique player for them and offers them opportunities for hidden yards and big plays in the kicking game. And if you're in a dogfight in a Super Bowl, we've seen it over the years, sometimes a play in the kicking game can be the difference.
I feel like we ask this every couple of years, but if they're able to win this one, is this Bill Belichick's best coaching job?
I do feel like we say that a lot, and, you know, that's because he makes the most out of what he has a lot. And, you know, it's that old argument everybody gets into, I'm sure you get into it at times, of Belichick the GM versus Belichick the coach, and does Belichick the GM force Belichick the coach to be, you know, great because he doesn't always give him the best roster and talent? But, yeah, I think they have really had to maximize what they have this year because, quite frankly, you know, Julian Edelman isn't what he once was, and Rob Gronkowski certainly for this year wasn't the dominant all-pro tight end. And, you know, Brady fought through some things, and Sony Michel was on and off the field, and, you know, certainly defensively, I don't think they have a lot of elite playmakers. Stephon Gilmore is a Pro Bowler, sure, but beyond that, you have some pretty good players. Trey Flowers is a really good player, but I don't know if there's a lot of elite playmakers. And, you know, Bill found a way, and they had struggles on the wing, and there were times where confidence could have been lost, and, you know, the process that everybody talks about, maybe there could have been a deviation from that, but Bill held it all together. And, you know, with a first year defensive coordinator, he lost Matt Patricia, so, you know, you bring in Edelman is suspended, and you bring in Gordon, and Gordon is going on, and just there were so many bumps in the road, and, you know, right down to that Miami game and the way that ended. And I think some teams, maybe that derailed their season, a loss like that has lasting effects in terms of seeding. But through it all, Belichick just kept plugging along with the program that is and getting better each week and getting the players to buy into that idea. And then I would say to open the postseason, getting the players sort of frothing at the mouth, believing no one thought they could win and they were the underdog. And you saw the Brady comments, we suck and we're not athletic enough anymore. And he pushed the motivational buttons in probably a Bill Parcells-like fashion. And it's all worked. So, yeah, if they finish this job, you know, it's hard to rank his accomplishments over 20 years of dominance, but this is a pretty impressive coaching performance, no question.
Should Patriots fans be at all concerned about John Perry leading that officiating crew, or is that just digging too deep to find possible problems?
Well, I'll tell you, after last week's game in New Orleans, I think all fans should be worried about all officials at this point. Even the Patriots game last week, I thought, was poorly officiated. You know, I guess it balanced out in both directions for the most part. So it was sort of like going to a youth basketball game, which I'll be going to in a little while with my son. You just hope, you know, the guy's not going to be very good calling fouls. Just you hope he's bad for both teams and pulls out in the end. That's the point I'm at with NFL officiating is there's just so many game-changing bad calls. You hope at the end of the day when you count it up on the docket that he got it equal. There were three bad ones for the Rams and three bad ones for the Patriots. And I actually think we're going to see some changes this offseason in terms of officiating rules and challenges of calls late in games and things like that because of the Rams being in the Super Bowl and the way that Saints game ended.
I sure hope so. Andy Hart, Patriots Football Weekly. Andy, always great talking with you. We appreciate you making time on this busy Friday. Enjoy the basketball tonight. Travel safely to Atlanta, and we will catch up with you soon.
Will do. I got to go watch basketball and then hurry home to pack my suitcase. I'm not even close to ready for a week in Atlanta.
All right, Andy, thanks again. We'll see you soon.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Andy Hart, Patriots Football Weekly, with us on Downtown, our Boston Insiders, Patriot Insiders, brought to you by The Ground Round. Happy hour pricing, 3 to 6, specials during games, great service and amazing food at your locally owned and operated Ground Round on the Odlin Road in Bangor.